This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joined now by Jason Sobel, senior golf writer for the Action Network, who is out covering the U.S. Open. Jason, how's it feel out there?
You know, Tiki, some days out at Pebble Beach are a little bit more beautiful than others, but they're all beautiful out here.
Yeah, I mean, it's California. It never rains, right? It never rains, type of thing. Tiger Woods tees off.
They call it marine layer, but it's fog.
Yeah, right. The Tiger Woods tees off in about an hour and 6 or so minutes. How's the course playing so far? We see that Ricky Fowler is atop the leaderboard right now, the leader in the clubhouse, as they like to say, with a 66. How's it playing right now?
I don't want to say it's playing easy, but it's playing easy. I mean, super easy for a U.S. Open. I mean, this looks like the AT&T Pro-Am that we see every February, where Phil Mickelson won a few months ago with a score of 19 under par. I don't know that we're getting quite that low this week, but last year, for comparison, at Shinnecock, only four players were under par after the opening round. So far today, we've got a couple dozen already in counting. I mean, this place is just getting torn up, and for a few different reasons, Tiki, first of which is that this course is playing 7,075 yards on the scorecard. It's short.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys can go out, Dustin Johnson's and the Rory McIlroy's and the best players out there who hit the ball a long way, and can hit 4 and 5 iron off the tee and just be in fine position and keep it the fairway. So the greens are not that quick, and I don't think it's going to get much tougher, honestly. The weather is supposed to hold about what it is right now. It's not like it was on Long Island last year where it got hot and the greens baked out. Secondly, and this is really inside baseball stuff here, but the USGA Executive Director Mike Davis, who has set up the golf courses for the U.S. Open for about 13 or 14 years, stepped down from that specific role before this U.S. Open, before this edition of the event. John Bodenhamer, another man with the USGA, is now doing that, and I just can't imagine he wants to be public enemy number one and sort of deal with the wrath of the players should this course go over the edge on the weekend. So I think it's going to stay the way it is, and I think scores are going to be very, very low.
It's interesting you say that, Jason, because the players have come to expect the U.S. Open to be play tough, right? So would they mind if it's easy? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, here's sort of the misnomer that I think a lot of the public sees, is that, and especially last year is a great example at Shinnecock, players on Saturday were complaining about the conditions, and we saw Zach Johnson kind of started it, and other players jumped in, and Phil Mickelson hit a ball that was still rolling on the green. I mean, they were just exasperated from it. I think what the public doesn't quite understand is that the players aren't complaining if it's hard. Players are okay with it being hard. The players are fine with it being really hard.
Yeah.
What the players don't like is it being unfair.
Gotcha.
They want to be rewarded for a good shot and penalized for a bad shot. And I think that's the way it should be. And that's really what we're seeing so far today. So I think if the USGA has some maddening sense of we want even par to be the winning score and tries to get this place as hard as it possibly can for the weekend, you are going to see players revolt once again, because that's not the way this course is supposed to be played right now. And if they do that, well, the only way they can get that done is to make it unfair, and the players are going to complain again.
Yeah, and we don't want that. We want everybody happy, except for the you know, I mean, the winner will be happiest, but you know what I mean. Jason Sobel, golf writer for the Action Network. You can follow him on Twitter, Jason Sobel. That's SOBELTAN. What's the TAN stand for? You out there tanning
the
sun? I'm just kidding, man.
I got a nice tan.
Exactly. Well, you got that nice, like, half bald head like me. It's all good.
You've
been writing about Rory. Now, Rory's interesting because, you know, the early part of his career, he was blitzing these majors. He had four before 2015, but now he's been on a drought for a while now. He played fantastic up in Canada last weekend. He won that going away with his final round 61. Where do you see Rory right now, and can he get back on the major climb that we saw earlier in his career?
These things are so fluid, because a few months ago, I was the first to say Rory McIlroy is the best player in the golf in the world.
Wow.
Rory McIlroy is the absolute most talented player. His A game is better than everybody else's A game, and he's just got the it factor more than everyone else. Then we saw Brooks Koepka finish runner-up to Tiger at the Masters and win in pretty convincing fashion until the back nine at the PGA Championship, and now has four majors in the last few years, and we say, well, now it's Brooks Koepka, of course, because he has four majors in the time since Rory has had his last one. So, of course, it's Brooks Koepka, and yet then you look at what Rory did last week, and you see kind of how he started playing today, and you say, it's kind of Rory again. You know, it's so fluid. It changes on a weekly basis almost, which is good. I think that's a good thing for the game. It's probably better than it was. Not that Tiger was ever bad for the game, but it's kind of interesting. It's good to have a little debate and a little argument about who exactly is the best player in the world. And so Rory, I think, needs to get another major championship to really cement his spot in that role, whether officially or unofficially. And I didn't think this would be the week, Tiki. I've talked to Rory many times over the years, mostly in regard to trying to get that last leg of the career Grand Slam at the Masters, of course. And his response is always, well, I'm so glad I got the U.S. Open out of the way because I'm not sure I'm getting another one of those. He kind of laughs knowing that Congressional played really soft and was not U.S. Open-like conditions when he won there in 2011. And so I think if he's going to win another one, it's going to be one like this where you're going to have to go low and make a bunch of birdies. And this kind of suits his game a little bit.
Yeah, so far so good. You mentioned Brooks Koepka there. He tees off in about 35 minutes or so. And you mentioned back-to-back PGA Championship wins, back-to-back U.S. Opens. He's going for a not quite unprecedented, but it hasn't happened since the early 1900s, three-peat at the U.S. Open. Brooks is interesting because he carries this chip on his shoulder. I read this article. I mean, that's saying it very lightly, as I'm sure you'll expound upon. But, you know, I read this article about his major to win ratio. It's ridiculous. Like, he only wins majors. That's it. What's the inside of Brooks Koepka like?
I and many others have a tough time getting inside that head of his, but I think we're starting to learn more. I thought he was more open and honest and affable in his Tuesday press conference this week than I've ever heard him before. I thought he was really, really good. I think we're starting to learn a bit more about him. But he admits he sort of manufactures these little controversies about himself. Last month, it was Brandel Chamblee who said he wasn't quite ready to put Brooks Koepka in the same stratosphere as Tiger, Rory, and Dustin Johnson, which is not really a knock on Koepka. He just said he needed to see more from him. And Koepka took that as the worst thing ever. I can't believe he would diss me like this, and went out and used that as motivation. Look, it worked for him. And this week, he came into the interview room, and he said, you know, there was a Fox promo. Someone sent it to me, and it didn't even put me, the two-time defending champion, in the promo. Well, as it turns out, Fox had done four promos, three of which had Brooks Koepka heavily involved, and one of them did not have Brooks at all. And Brooks pointed out the one that didn't have him and said, somebody should be fired, and I'm really mad about this. And he's going to use that as more fuel for the fire. And look, if it works for him and he needs that chip on his shoulder to go out and play better golf, then I guess he's got to keep doing it.
Yeah.
It certainly worked for him so far.
Is he liked amongst the guys on tour?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, so they don't mind this attitude, this chip that he carries on his shoulder. They don't mind it.
No, because it's not towards them.
Yeah.
It's not like he's going out there saying, oh, I hate all the other guys that I have to play golf with. They had a champions dinner earlier this week, and Rory McIlroy said he sat at a table with his wife, Jordan Spieth and his wife, and Brooks Koepka and his girlfriend, and he said the three couples, shut down the place afterwards. They
nice.
Stayed an hour and a half later than everybody else, and they hung out and talked and laughed. He said he had a great time hanging out with those guys. And so they do like Brooks Koepka. They like being around him. I think they almost, they're in awe of him a little bit. I don't know that it's intimidation.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fear. But like Justin Thomas said earlier this week, I want to channel my inner BK this week and see if I can play like him. And when Koepka was asked about that, I said, I have no idea what his inner BK is. I don't even know what that means.
Jason Sobel, the Action Network golf writer, joins us here. Does he need to, I don't know, be more forthcoming with the media? If he's going to become the face of golf, they need him to be more affable?
I think there's two different questions in there. Does golf need him to be more affable? It certainly wouldn't help, or wouldn't hurt, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think that it would be yeah, really good to have one of the faces of the game be a guy who's popular and well-liked. Does Brooks Koepka need that, though? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think Brooks Koepka seems just fine winning major championships, going home, staying out of the limelight, not getting too much attention. And he seems like that's exactly what he wants, which is very contrasting to the way he puts things. It seems like when he talks publicly, he says, why am I not getting enough attention? Why do people, you know, leave me out of promos and things like that? And then he says, you know, I don't really like all the attention. I just want to go home and relax and be away from it all. So it's almost like this contradictory feeling from him in that he wants all the attention, yet the more attention he gets, the more he doesn't like having the attention.
Yeah, that's funny. Let's move to Tiger real quick before we let you go here. Tiger Woods finished ninth at the Memorial. He missed a cut at the PGA. Where do you see him right now as he tees off in just over an hour?
I think the Tiger Woods we see this week will be somewhere between the one who won the Masters 2 months ago and the one who missed the cut of the PGA Championship last month.
That's yeah. So you don't give him a chance to win?
No, I do actually. I actually like Tiger. I think it'll be closer to the one who won the Masters. I was kidding there. That's a pretty broad brush I was painting with.
But, yeah, yeah.
I do think he'll have a very nice week. I was surprised actually, Tiki, the other day. I asked Tiger if there was anything he could take from that historic 15 shot win here back in 2000. And I kind of thought that he'd say, no, you know, I'm a different player. I'm a different person. Course is different. Conditions are different. Now I can't do anything like I did 19 years ago. Instead, he said, yeah, you know, that week I learned how to miss in all the right places. I didn't hit every shot great, but the ones I missed in the right spots. I took really good angles. And I think one thing that Tiger understands, and maybe even the general public doesn't understand, is that he was not flawless that week. I think we go back and look at him and say, boy, that was like the most dominating performance of all time in golf. He didn't miss a shot all week.
Yeah.
He actually made six bogeys and a triple that week. He was not flawless. And I think Tiger understands better than anybody else in the field this week that he doesn't need to be perfect. He can be imperfect and still come out on top and come out on top by a lot this week, him or anybody else. So I think armed with that knowledge, it's going to be very important for him this week.
Yeah, it is going to be important. As we mentioned, Ricky Fowler is the leader in the clubhouse right now, 5 under par. Justin Thomas is always at top of the money list. Who do you like?
Well, my pick coming in was Jordan Spieth, so I guess I got to stick with it. He has not teed off yet. He's playing some much better golf as of late. He went about 8 or 9 months without a top 20 finish. He's been top 10 in each of his last three starts. He's starting to drive it better. The ball striking's gotten better. And the putting has just been out of this world over the last three events that he's played. He's putting better than everybody else out there. And I expect that to continue a little bit. I know that putting is streaky. I know that putting is tough to continue once you get it going. But Jordan has shown time and again that when he's rolling it well, he's rolling it better than anybody else. I think that could be a key for him this week.
We'll keep an eye out for it. Jason, I appreciate you hopping on with us for a couple minutes to talk PGA or talk to the U.S. Open, obviously out at Pebble. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy the rounds. And hopefully we'll talk to you down the line.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, Tiki.
Be good. Jason Sobel, senior golf writer for the Action Network. You follow him at Jason Sobel, TAN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.